The rest of the story. When Andrew purchased that handsome townhouse in Manhattan in the East 60s, he had been inspired by its basic conservative appearance, inside and out. Its basic conservative appearance. It was a look he grew determined to preserve because it so precisely reflected his own personality, dignified and traditional, almost spiritually quiet. The day Andrew moved in, he pondered the wall-to-wall carpeting. It was too modern, he thought, too flagrant, so he ripped it up. He refinished the hardwood floors, bought a few good rugs, conservative rugs, of course. Some of the rooms needed repainting, but painters were admonished to use the original color only. It was the way the house had been meant to be, Andrew declared, and no one's imagination was to disturb it. A stroll through Andrew's home would have told you a lot about him. The furniture was federal, elegant. In the grand dining room, sideboards bore immense silver garnitures. The walls embraced stately traditional paintings. Throughout were displayed 19th century bronze reproductions of classical sculptural masterworks. In the sedate master bedroom sat an appropriately decorous bed, a vast armoire. A visitor to Andrew's home once remarked that it had the gleam, this is a quote, the gleam, the hush, and the peace of a presbytery, that everything in it bespoke gentlemanly discretion. And yet visitors were few and far between. For Andrew was a shy and private soul. He was a devout Roman Catholic who made daily visits to nearby St. Vincent's, who often spent days working in a shelter for the homeless run by the Church of the Heavenly Rest. It was at one time observed that Andrew was least shy when promoting his religious faith. In fact, he financed a nephew's studies for the priesthood. And he often recalled his own converts with much pride. What I'm saying is that all his life, Andrew was devout, hardworking, disciplined, virtuous. Some would even say celibate. When you'd ask him about this personality characteristic, he would say that virtue can be exciting. Andrew was known for his thrift, yet that was mainly because he kept his frequent generosity and charity a modest secret. It has also been said and written that Andrew's New York townhouse was more than a retreat from the madness of the modern day, but it served as kind of a monastic refuge from the person the world supposed him to be. Well, Andrew's gone now, but the house he loved remains as he left it. His crucifix at his bedside, his books carefully stacked, his traditional artwork imperiously displayed, his federal furnishing standing at attention as though awaiting his return. For this was the man we thought we knew. The audacious modern artist, the Cezanne of the soup can, was really a pious, quiet man. The conservative creature of a more gracious era, a genteel, humble homebody named Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol? Andy Warhol. And now you know the rest of the story.